Our reading began this way. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch. Jerusalem is in Judea. It's about 300 miles from Antioch. It's a 15-day journey by foot. It's a long way. So we're going to try this. Amelia, could you hold that? So this is Jerusalem over here. In Jerusalem is the mother church, and it's full of Jewish believers. Way up in Antioch, we have the rebellious teenagers. This looks like some rebellious teenagers, Rachel, all right? No, you're the least rebellious teenager I know. In Antioch, we have a church where there are Jewish believers, but there are also Gentile believers worshiping Jesus together. 300 miles between them. Let's say this aisle is the space between Jerusalem and Antioch. But this isn't just a long journey on a road. This is the distance between Jewish bodies and Gentile bodies, between one way of being and doing and a completely different way of living. There's a great space between Jerusalem and Antioch. And the question before us today is this: what do we do with this space? What lives in this space between them and us, or us and them? What is in that space? Well, a common response is to reinforce this space, to make it wider, or to build a taller wall. We call this segregation. And we see this throughout human history between warring tribes around the world. We see it, we saw it in South Africa during apartheid, in the American South during Jim Crow. We saw it in Northern Ireland between Catholics and Protestants. And in the day of the early church, Jews continued often to separate themselves from Gentiles, to create a space, a distance between them. And for those who have been to Palestine today, this space still exists. These walls are being built. And today, there are those in Israel who are calling for even more segregation between Israelis and Palestinians. Now, another response to this space is to cross the space, but to come with a mission to change the other, to make the other group more like us, to make them into our image. We see this in the history of European colonialism. When European explorers would try to civilize these native peoples, segregation. We call this assimilation. What do we do in this space? In the early 20th century, thousands of European immigrants came to Detroit. Do you know what for? There were jobs waiting in Henry Ford's automobile plant to build cars. And these Europeans, you know, spoke different languages, but they were working together. And so the Ford Motor Company said, we need to help them learn English. They started the Ford English School. But this school was about more than teaching English. It was about making these immigrants into a certain kind of people. At the graduation ceremony every year, there would be a factory band playing patriotic music. And the workers would dress up in clothes from their home country. And they would step up into this big wooden cauldron. And it, in big letters, it said the American Melting Pot. And they would walk down in their home country clothing. And while the music is playing, they would quick change into an American suit and hat. and they would get an American flag, and they would walk up out of the cauldron. And here's what the Henry Ford Museum says. The students, the workers, underwent a spiritual smelting process where the impurities of foreignness were burnt off as slag to be tossed away, leaving a 100% new American. This was part of the price of what it meant to become a white American, to leave behind your European ethnic heritage, to become a white American. And this is a clear picture of assimilation. Now, this group of Jews from Jerusalem who go to Antioch, they come with a similar agenda. They come to try and say that Jewish bodies must become, that Gentile bodies must become like Jewish bodies. If you want to be saved, they say, if you want to be acceptable to God, if you want to belong with God's people, you must become like us. That's the message. So there is fear that lives in this space, the space between Jerusalem and Antioch. There's fear, I think, of these Jewish believers wondering, will I lose my Jewish identity, the history of my people? Will Moses matter anymore? Will the law matter anymore if we join with Gentiles? There's a fear of losing who we've been. I wonder if that's a fear for immigrants that come to America. Will your children only speak English? Will they know where their family has come from? Will they remember? Or maybe there's a fear of losing control, that the mother church in Jerusalem is worried that the church in Antioch is going to do their own thing, and we can't control this new thing God is doing. Maybe that's a fear that lives in this space between them. And this small group of Jewish believers carry that fear to Antioch, and now that the Gentile believers, they're afraid that maybe we don't belong. Maybe I'm not acceptable to God as I am. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I have to change my body to belong. American culture sends this message, especially to women. Is my body good enough? What do I have to change about my body to be acceptable? Is my body sacred and holy? American culture makes immigrants ask these same questions about their bodies. Is my body illegal? Is my body at home in this land, in this place? People of color have to ask these questions in this country. Is my body sacred and holy? Is it as good as a white body? Jana, my wife, was in a car accident, a small car accident, 2 years ago. And the other car was a couple and a child, an African-American family. And after the accident, Jana and the woman driving got out and made sure everyone was okay. And they decided we should call the police to file an accident report for insurance. And they did. And the woman went back to her car and was speaking with the man. And after a bit, he got up and left and just walked away. And Jana and I were talking later. I wonder why. Why did he feel the need to leave before the police came? I certainly wouldn't feel that need. And then Jana noticed that after the man left, the woman put on a wig of longer, straighter hair before the police arrived. And Jana thought later, I didn't feel a need to change my appearance before the police arrived. Was that woman's body as acceptable as Jana's body? Am I good enough? Do I belong? These fears in Acts 15 were not new then, and they are not old today. In his commentary on Acts, Willie Jennings asked this: how can peoples be joined together, truly joined together, without loss, without the death of one people's ways for the sake of the other? I think we always have to ask this question as we share life together in Christ. Over in Antioch, there are two Jewish believers who know what it is to share space with Gentiles, Paul and Barnabas. And they are sent across that space back to Jerusalem, but they don't carry fear. They carry with them something else. What moves Paul and Barnabas? Well, when they get to Jerusalem, they share about what God has done among the Gentiles, among the Jewish believers in Antioch. And Peter affirms that, yes, God has given the Holy Spirit to Gentiles. And James agrees, yes, Gentiles belong in God's people. And then James points back. He points back in Israel's story, because the story is not forgotten, it's not gone. And he quotes from the prophet Amos, saying that God has promised to rebuild Israel, to set up David's fallen tent, and under that tent to gather in Gentiles as well. John's gospel says that day of rebuilding David's tent has come in Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and set up his tent among us. David's fallen tent has been rebuilt, resurrected. And this is a larger tent. And in this tent, there isn't just space for Jewish bodies, there's space for every body. This is what happens in the incarnation, that the God of the universe steps into this space between Jerusalem and Antioch, into this space that is so often defined by fear and suspicion and a need to control the other. This is where God enters in the person of Jesus Christ. In the body of Christ, everybody belongs. In this body, everybody belongs. Everybody is at home. This is a body of grace. A body of grace is what stands between Jerusalem and Antioch and says, there's room for all of us here. It's grace that moves Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem to bring good news. That there's grace for Jewish bodies, that they don't have to throw away who they've been and who they are, because God has been present. Jesus doesn't come to destroy the law, he comes to fulfill it. And Jewish bodies don't have to wonder if they're good enough, if they belong, because God has made space for them through Jesus Christ. James says that Gentile men do not need to be circumcised. But then he surprises us. At the end, he adds on these rules, some basic rules, that you don't have to be circumcised, but you can't eat these foods, and you can't be sleeping around. And you wonder, why does he add these on? Well, James understands that the space between Jewish bodies and Gentile bodies, it's the space of the cross. That's what reconciles. That's what brings together. And in the cross, there's always a death. There's always a giving up. There's always something we have to let go to be made new, to be made one. So the Jewish believers have to give up circumcision. They can't make the Gentiles be circumcised. But the Gentiles, they also must meet Jewish bodies. They must say, okay, I won't eat these foods. I won't participate in temple prostitution or something. for the sake of fellowship, so that we can come to the same table, so that we're not creating more barriers for each other. Paul says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, to husbands and wives. And I think that's the same thing for the church. So I wonder about this fellowship here. I wonder what we each are giving up to be here. I know some of us have to give up more than others to be here. And I think we can continue to work harder so that all of us aren't giving up too much of who we are to be here. So that in this space, none of us has to wonder, can I bring my full self? Can I lift my hands? Can I kneel down in worship? Can I dance if I want to? Can I speak in other tongues? Is this space for me to be my full self in Christ? We have to work on that. We have to work on that. Seppa, you've told me a proverb a few times. I think this is it. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you do something for me without me, you do it against me. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. If you do something for me without me, you do it against me. This is a hopeful story, that there is space in the church for Jewish bodies and Gentile bodies. But did you notice that there are no Gentile voices in the story? That it's in Jerusalem where the Jewish believers are making decisions for everyone. And I think we can do better than that. I think as we discern and follow God together, that all our voices need to be heard. That was important last Sunday during the Swahili speakers meeting, to understand what are the concerns of folks who come to this country as Swahili speakers. What gifts do you bring? We need to make space for one another. A couple weeks ago, I'll close with this. A couple weeks ago, a gentleman from church came into my office, and he said, we have to do more than just welcome people. We have to let each person know that they belong here because we believe God has sent you here. Each person. Do we believe that God has sent each one of us here? And our job together is to find out why. Why would God want me to be in fellowship with Sarah and Francoise and Nathaniel? Why? What do we have to learn together? How do we fit together? That's our job, friends. So that God makes us more and more into a family of grace, where we can be our full selves in Christ. And we have to let God do what only God can do. It's only God who can move us out of our corners into a space of grace, where we see each other, where we share life together, where we let go of our fears and our need to control and change one another. And in that space of grace, we flow to the table of grace. And at this table of grace, we're united in Christ. We share in the bread and the cup. And each Sunday, we're knit more and more together. The pieces of this body of Christ here is knit together more and more so that we truly are one body in the Lord Jesus Christ. May it be so, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.